we're going to be in Romans chapter 1 this morning for the adult portion of our sermonic emphasis. There it is. Don't worry, I'm ready. Part 2. You remember we got halfway through the sermon last week because you guys didn't listen very fast. And I just had to kind of nip it in the what. That's it. So we're going to do a little review this morning and then we'll catch up to where we stopped last week. You know, I'm a child of eternity. Time doesn't really matter. But I do understand, as I've told you before, that for a sermon to be immortal, it doesn't have to be eternal. So I try to let you out of here in a reasonable time. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. And then when we get to it, we're going to talk about, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's do a little review. We're talking about as much as in me is, or as much as is in me, the New King James. I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. As much as is in me. What would you say is in you? I've said before, whatever's in you, when you shake, that's what comes out. What's in the bucket? No, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. We're all filled with something, and I showed you this. And I told you the story, and this is all anybody remembered. That's it. The bird ate a half bologna sandwich, flew up on the post, was crowing about his good fortune. A hawk heard him and came and ate him. And the moral of the story is, when you're full of bologna, you better keep your mouth shut. We're all full of something. We can fill ourselves with positive things or negative things. You can have this chocolate or you can have this dirt. Our past, we talked about this in the Bible study class downstairs this morning. Our genetics and our circumstances have an effect on us. It's the nature versus nurture, and I think it's both. But we can choose what we fill ourselves with. It's not just what happens to us. It's what part we accept of what happens to us and how we allow that to influence our lives. There comes a point in every adult's life where you have to say, I choose to be what and who I am. All of us have had bad things that happen to us. I'm making an assumption. Is there anybody here that's never had an unfortunate circumstance or experience or relationship in their lives? Anybody here just walked down the primrose path and everything smelled like roses and everything was sweet and non-fattening? Okay, I just want to gauge my audience here and make sure what I was doing. I told you one time I had a youth pastor call me and ask me to do a Valentine banquet. Did I tell you that story? I was invited to drive about 3 hours and do a Valentine banquet speech, sermonette, devotional, or whatever. So I make a preparation for this youth pastor who called me. So I talked about Jacob, the love that waited. You remember? He wanted to marry Rachel, and he got to the wedding and lifted up the veil, and it was the googly-eyed girl, Leah. That's terrible. What it was, it said she had doe eyes, which meant they were droopy-eyed. No, I'm just giving you the literal Hebrew translation, googly-eye. not quite. So he married this gal after working for 7 years, and he said, no, this is not the one I wanted. He said, you can't have the other one before this one. give me another 7 years and you have Rachel. So, and I don't know if he married her on layaway or on credit. I don't know if he got to marry her right then or had to wait 7 years, you know. So I go down there and I talk to these young people that you need to wait on God's timing for your love. I get there. It is not for the youth group. It is sponsored by the youth group for senior citizens. And some of them looked like they didn't have time to wait. If they were going to find love, they would have to make it right then. So you should always know your audience, okay? So since now I know this audience, that we have all suffered indignities and, you know, bad stuff, there comes a point in time where you have to say, that's in the past. I choose who I'm going to be now with God's help. With God's help. I can be what God wants me to be. I do not have to be conformed to the world. I can be transformed by the power of God. What are you choosing to put in your handled mason jar? Because whatever you're choosing is what comes out with others. Paul was filled with a readiness to preach. The word is evangelion, and it means to evangelize with the gospel. He was filled with that. A readiness. It was his passion. It was his mission. Jesus' co-mission was his mission. What is your mission? We all have a mission. We all have, if I could draw, and I can't, if I could draw a little cartoon or a pencil drawing, I would draw a picture of a man riding on a donkey, and I would have a long stick out in front of the donkey with a string hanging down and a carrot on it. Now, some of you may be drawing that right now to give to me. But the donkey will keep walking because that carrot is out in front of him, and that's his mission, is to get that carrot. We all have somebody on us with a carrot in front of us. What is your carrot? What is it that you're following? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that is always directing you? Is it yourself? Is it wealth? Is it comfort? You know, we all have these things. Is it natural things or is it spiritual things? Is it selfish things or is it godly things? And now I'm going to hurt your feelings. Is it good things or is it the best things? You can fill your life with good things and never pursue the best things. What does it mean to be ready to evangelize? What keeps us from being ready? Let me share with you some people, and I can't remember if I did this last week, and Valerie said, we can listen to last week's sermon. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. I hear it one time. I can't hear it again. Do you like to listen to yourself on tape or something like that? Yeah, see, everybody's saying no. Yeah, so I'm okay. But may I talk about this? We're going to review. Gideon wasn't ready. God came to Gideon and said, I want you to be a judge of my people. And a judge then was not a guy who sat on a bench and this or that. He was a military reformer who led Israel out of bondage back to where they belonged in the promised land. God called Gideon, and Gideon said, I'm not really sure it's you. So he tested God twice with the fleece. You know what a fleece is? It's like a what? It's a sheepskin. Yeah, fuzzy one. I got a black one in my office that I got in Israel, actually. And he put the fleece outside and he said, I get these mixed up. He said, in the morning I want only the fleece to be wet and everything else to be dry. And then the next, and God did it. And he said, if you really want me to do this, then prove this by this action. And he said, the next morning it was just like he had proved. And Gideon said, now don't get mad at me. What's usually the expected reaction whenever someone says, don't get mad at me? You're going to get mad, Betty says. Yeah. But he said, don't get mad at me this time. I want everything else to be wet and this be dry. And God did it. He wasn't ready. Barak was not willing to go alone and fight the battle for God without Deborah. And Deborah told him, said, I'm going to go with you because God called you and you're not going to go without me. But when this is over, everybody's going to say, God delivered his people through the hand of a woman. He said, I don't care. I'm not going by myself. And she went with him. Peter, standing outside when Jesus is being tried before he was to be crucified, was identified as being one of the disciples. This man was one of the disciples, and he said, I don't know who you're... What are you talking about? I don't know him. Happened twice more. And the third time, he cursed and said... Now, when I was a boy, I thought he said a dirty word. Now, he cursed himself with an oath. Basically something like this. Now, when I was a boy and you made an oath, it was typically, if I'm lying, that's it. Or, I swear to God, and don't do that, by the way, hope to die. Anybody know the rest of that? Stick a needle in my eye. So, that was the kind of oath, the kind of curse. Typically, back then, it would be something like, if I'm not telling the truth, may God strike me dead. Or if I'm not speaking righteously, then may I suffer the condemnation of God. That's what Peter did when called. See, what could have happened was they said, this man's one of his disciples. They should have said, absolutely. Let me tell you what Jesus is doing right now and what it means in your life. No. I don't know what you're talking about here. Gideon did not believe that God could really use him. If you read Gideon's story, he says, my father's tribe is the least tribe in Israel. My father's house is the least house in Israel. And I am the least man in my father's house. So he's making excuses. God wants to use him. And rather than taking confidence in God, he looked more at how confident he could be in himself. You know, they say in courtroom proceedings that a person who has himself as a lawyer has a what? A fool for a client. If all you have is you trying to serve God, you are being very foolish. You may not be all that and a bag of chips, obligatory snap. But God is. Quit looking in the mirror and start looking to God. Barak feared being alone in leadership. He said, man, I can't do this by myself. What's that song we sing? I have decided to what? What's the one of those verses say? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Still I will follow. We sang a song last week, I think. Penny talked about it. You're the only Jesus. Or did we do that today? Today. Well, sorry. I told you I'm a child of eternity. Time doesn't matter to me. You're maybe the only Jesus some people will ever see. See, you have people in your circle that I'll never meet. That our teachers will never meet. You may be the only one. Do something. Peter feared dying with Jesus. Although he had just said, I'm going to jail if you go to jail, and I'm going to die if you die. But when the pressure came, I know who that is. No. What is your fear? What is keeping you from being ready to share the good news? It may be like those guys. How can you be ready? There's where we're going. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 read like this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be what? See how I did that? Ready and ready? Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and you do this with meekness and respect or fear. What does all that mean? I'm glad you ask. Let's get the rest of it. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. What does it mean? How does it mean that we're get ready? Sanctify the Lord in your heart. What does that mean? How many of you, if we played a recording of your speech in the last year, how many times would we hear the word sanctify? Maybe not much. That's not a word we use a lot in our culture. Sanctify means to set apart. It's the word hagion. It means to set apart, and it means to set the Lord upon the throne of your heart. I have a graphic for that in a minute. It means you put Jesus. Remember I talked about the donkey, and I guess by saying that I made you the donkey. But you know, the donkey and someone sitting on you and directing you, that's the Lord if you've sanctified the Lord in your heart. He is above all, above everything in your life. He is number one, not only in priority and in preference, but in time. You know, you may say, well, now you're my number one, but I don't have time for you right now because I got to go to work. Or you're my number one, but I can't do this right now because I got to spend this money on something else. No. Number one in priority and in preference and in intent. Sanctifying the Lord means that He is controlling everything. How many things in your life is Spirit-led and God-controlled? And how many things in your life is otherwise controlled? When you sanctify the Lord in your heart, His will becomes your will, and you pursue it with everything you have. Paul said, as much as is in me. I'm not a real cliche kind of guy. You know, remember WWJD and all that? I don't mind that. But I'm not a real cliche guy. He's on fire for Jesus. I don't mind that, but that's not my thing. But when Jesus' will becomes your will, you are, here's the cliche, sold out to Jesus. And it looks like that. That circle is your life. And for some of us, it's a pretty good description. Those of us who are more round than we are oval. You know who you are. The circle is your life. On the left side, you have a life that has all kinds of... I'm just going to climb up right here. You have all kinds of different things in there, and they all have different weights and different values. Okay? And they're all kind of scattered. The cross here represents Jesus, and He's outside. And guess who's on the throne? You could say Satan, but I was thinking self. Now there's a third one of these diagrams that has Christ inside here, which means you've trusted Him as your Savior, but you're still driving the bus. You're not a natural man, as Paul says in Corinthians. You're a carnal man. The guy, this on the right, this guy, got it all together. This is supposed to be an S. Christ is on the throne of your heart. He's directing everything. And did you notice how everything now is in its proper place and proper perspective? That's what it means to sanctify the Lord in your heart. Somebody's always on the throne. It's either God or you. He goes on to say here, be ready to give an answer. It's a word, apologia. Have you ever heard of apologetics? Yeah, apologetics is a study of how to defend your faith. And it goes far and deep. You can give answers on, you know, well, I don't believe the Bible. It was written by man. Well, there's ways to talk about that. Holy men of old spake as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then you say, yeah, but you're using the Bible to defend the Bible. There comes to be a point where you don't explain anymore, you just demonstrate. Who knows, who remembers a person by the name of C.S. Lovett? Anybody know who C.S. Lovett was? C.S. Lovett had a little soul-winning booklet. Had photographs in it. It was very good, but very elementary in some of its design and that typeset and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things I remember from here, I've got it back there in the office, was when something's on fire, you don't go up and explain the fire extinguisher to the fire. Now, this is a fire extinguisher, and it's an ABC fire extinguisher. And now when I pull this pin, that allows me to depress the handle. And when I depress the handle, a spray is going to come out, and it's going to quench the fire, take the oxygen out, however that goes, and it's going to put it... No, you don't explain it. You just pull the pin and go. You don't have to be able to defend every single thing in the Word of God or the Christian life to give an answer. Giving an answer is simply telling how you became a believer in Jesus Christ. And you may be here this morning and say, I don't know how I became a believer. Then you may not be one. You know if you have put your faith and trust in Christ, and that is a moment in time that changes your eternity. There may have been a number of things that led up to it, but there was a time in your life when you repented of your sin, placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that is when what we call Jesus talking to Nicodemus, when you were born again. Okay? There may have been a gradual awareness that God was out there. There may have been a specific time when you realized that my actions are not pleasing to God, and you became convicted by the Holy Spirit. All these things are precursors. These are labor pains. Can I say it like that? Labor pains to the point where you're born again. You can just tell people. One of my favorite ones is, I walked down the aisle and I gave the preacher my hand and gave Jesus my heart. That's a southern thing right there. But at some point, you made a conscious decision to trust in Christ and not yourself. And you can say that. If you've been born again, you can tell what happened. We used to sing a song at youth camp called Glory, 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 Somebody Touch Me. You ever sing that one? We would sing it, and we'd sing, it was on a Monday, somebody touched me, and you're supposed to stand up if you were saved on a Monday. And you go all the way through, and you get to the end, and we sang that one time, and I couldn't remember the exact day I came to Christ, which doesn't mean I didn't. I don't remember the date, but I remember the event. Well, thankfully for me, they had one said it was on a one day. And so that was mine. You know, that was mine. All right. Maintain a clear conscience. It says here in our scripture. Having a good conscience. What is a good conscience? It's living a life that's free of guilt and focused on serving God. If you are always feeling guilty about all the bad stuff you've done, you are not going to feel empowered to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm just telling you, it doesn't work that way. It's like, have you young people, you kids, or maybe when you were a kid, and you wanted to invite a friend to come over, and you said, some of you are looking at each other, were we ever young? Anyway, you know who you are. And say, hey mom, I want to invite so-and-so over after school or after church. And your mom or dad said, not today, because what? The house is not Now, maybe that's some other place. Maybe that's a different congregation because your houses are always clean or you don't care. But I'm kind of the guy that I want the house at least picked up. That doesn't mean I pick it up, but I want the house kind of picked up before people come over. My wife, she's the picker-upper. But, and that's by her choice because I don't, anyway. You're not ready to share the gospel if your life's not picked up. And that guilt will cause you trouble. Having a clear conscience frees you and empowers you to share the good news of the gospel of Christ. Third thing, work on good conduct. Live your life so that your thoughts, words, and actions do not conflict with Christ being on the throne of your life. It means you live a life that may be radically different from the world, but it is just in line with Jesus. That's good conduct. King James says your good conversation, which means your manner of living. Maintain a good conduct. So as much as in me is, I am ready. What is in you today? What is in you? Is it more of Jesus or is it more of self? You get to choose. And are you ready to demonstrate the gospel? Some of you may need to demonstrate the gospel by saying, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I've never been baptized. That's a proclamation of the gospel. You're preaching by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Some of you may say, you know, I remember a time when Jesus got a hold of my life and I shared the gospel with every opportunity. But that was then and this is now. And I'm not doing it anymore. Some of you may be here today and said, I'd love to share the good news about Jesus, but I haven't accepted it myself. I need to trust Christ. I need to taste and see that the Lord is good before I offer it to somebody else. Let's stand together. This is a time of invitation. This is an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel. To you to hear what the Lord is saying in your heart and say, yes, Lord, I want you more than anything. I want you to be on the throne of my life. I want you in my life. I want others' lives to be changed because of what you've changed in me. If that's your prayer today, you respond to God in an affirmative way. In Jesus' name, amen.